Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we get a couple of updates, one from the LIV Tour and one from the PGA Buying Summit in Frisco. So stay tuned to get ready for John Berquist and Jack Curry as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This hour, we have a couple of repeat guests because we want to catch up. That's what we're talking about. We've said this in the past. We like to stay on top of what our guests are up to as they progress through their success stories. Later in the show, we'll be checking in with Jack Curry. You know, he was at the PGA Buying Summit in Frisco last month, and so many good things going on with what Jack Curry has with the 2-under and this new golf glove company, and things are going really, really well, because he'll be in Minneapolis this weekend and into the early part of next week at the show, which he's always on the road, so we're happy to get him late. But right now, we wanted to check in with our new buddy, John Berquist, because he was at Greenbrier last weekend for the LIV event. We talked to, on the last time that John was on the show, when he introduced you to him, about this putter company, this Flux Golf he's got going on, and formerly with Lab Golf, who's got a presence as well, and John decided, hey, let's do some new stuff in Flux, and so we welcome John Berquist back to the show. JB, thanks for coming on. I know you're a busy man, and you're in your workshop. You're constantly in your workshop, but appreciate you making time to come on the show.
Keith, for you, anytime. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I appreciate you making time, because John is a guy, not only is he creative, and if you heard him on the last time he was on the show, this guy knows putters. And, you know, this putting thing going on in the industry is interesting, because companies nowadays either have their own putting line, which is, you know, I'm talking about the, you know, TaylorMade's and Hings and Callaway's of the world, the 800-pound gorillas. So it's very difficult to get clubs into bags of professional players specifically, or very, very good amateur players. But putter is about the only place you can kind of sneak one in these days, because usually it's a 14-club deal. So this manufacturer's got smart over time, and they try to lock their players in. But, you know, being out on in the new Wild Wild West, out on the LIV Tour specifically, it's a different animal. And you're out there at Greenbrier, and I know that there are very few manufacturers that get even invited to come out to those tournaments with their clubs.
Yeah, it's interesting. We now, I've been exposed to some of the leadership and the requests by the players, and they're stating, listen, we don't want this to be, you know, somewhat of a jamboree of new products from your typical OEMs. They don't want to be solicited. They have their own teams out there. They have their routines. And so the protocol now is you get your season-wise credentials. I have mine with Flux. Then on an individual event basis, they'll call out and say, John and Flux, who are you working with? So you say, okay, I'm working with these two players, one player, four players. They then will call each individual, you know, player or a team member on their on the player's team, not necessarily a LIV team, just to verify that, yep, you are working with that player. And if you are so, you get the checkbox, and then you have credentials for that week. And again, the whole idea is to sort of segregate the players from a typical environment that you would find on the PGA or any other, you know, tour. They want to try and, again, create some barrier from that tour rep, even though there might be some incredible product. Unless that player's shown interest in it and they want that tour rep there, they're not allowed to be on the greens. And I'm fortunate to actually working with some of these players week in, week out. So I got credentials for the year, and I got credentials for the Greenbrier. It was a great experience.
You know, it seems very insular, and it's interesting because it is totally different than the PGA Tour, where you'll have virtually, I would say, every company, obviously not the smaller guys out there, but the reps that are out on the PGA Tour on a regular basis are numerous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they also get very predatory. So, you know, again, they're looking to continue those revelations, those relationships with the players and, in theory, protect their investment, especially if there is a deal that's done that includes the 14th club. So, you know, they're protective. And that was one of the, you know, I think probably bargaining chips that the players stated, you know, listen, we don't want that. We want to have some form of sovereignty around that 14th club and other clubs on the other driving range. But we really want to make sure that we have, again, our ability to choose what we want to play with and focus at the short period that they actually have on the greens with their team. And so, you know, you have pods that are, you know, basically representatives of the player and their coaches and their caddy, and they're migrating between the chipping green, the chipping area, the putting green, the driving range, and they're making their rotations in between media events. And they have basically Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is pro-am, and so there you may see a pro or two early in the morning before the amateurs start to, you know, make their way out to the greens with their credentials, and that's it. And that's the only exposure you have. And then come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, their events, they've already chosen their equipment for the week. And so they'll get back to you the following week, giving you some insight on if they're using their product or using your product, what their thoughts are. But to be honest with you, most of the time it's, you know, kids in a candy store. They can go through, whether it be myself, and there's only one other OEM out there, and that's Lab. You know, they're choosing you know, hey, this is great, I'll try it out this week, and you may never see that club again or hear from them. But that's sort of the ante if you want to be out in front of these players.
Well, and that's the difficulty, and that is the rub of what reps do on the tours, because you're trying to build a relationship with the players, but the players already have clubs for that week. So you are kind of moving it forward, you know, because the likelihood of somebody changing, unless they break a club or if an opportunity comes, they forgot their putter on the plane, you know, when they left, the likelihood of them playing a specific club that week is really a low percentage. It does happen, and it has happened, and there have been successes on the tours by players doing that, which is certainly a game changer.
Yeah, more than anything, it's for support. So there's a fantastic resource for OEMs and players and caddies and whomever has any knowledge on how to construct a club or the nuances that a player may want things to a club. So LIV actually pays for this, you know, 40-foot trailer that's, you know, one of the most incredibly decked-out studios from, you know, a construction sort of laboratory stash area for shafts and grips and hosels and weights and all kinds of things. And they have staff members that are incredible that actually run that tour van. And because I am a verified OEM, I can go in there and make alterations. And so I had players come up this week and they were trying out a couple of my new models, their broomstick models. And there were some weight adjustments they wanted to make. And so in my current new, it's called a Proxy Plus, in my current new model, I've got six different ports for tungsten, but sometimes the players want something a little different. And yeah, I can take it back to my studio, you know, Pacific Northwest, and machine out pockets and drop tungsten in. That's a process. I can do that in probably, you know, a few days once I get home, but they're looking for, you know, immediate sort of feedback. And so the guys who are running this LIV sponsored studio or assembly area, it's just an incredible resource where the labs, myself, other OEMs that actually make it out there, have an area to tweak and fine-tune the product for the players. So it's, again, more of modifications that are happening and less so brand-new products that are being played. But, it, you know, everything's new to them when I'm out there, because most of them are trying things or they're getting back to me outside the tournaments, asking for clubs, club adjustments. I'll send it to them. And I'd say three quarters of the time, you know, I don't hear back from them, but that's okay. They see me, I see them, they know I sent them a club, and over time you build those relationships and trust.
That's good. Well, somebody sent me a picture of you working with Bryson DeChambeau, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because Bryson is this techno whiz, and he's particular about his club. So the fact that he would even give FaceTime to a rep speaks volumes in itself.
It does. Yeah, I built a club for Bryson this past week at the Greenbrier, and I went online and found out his specs and looked at what he had done with his product at the at the U.S. Open. Pretty easy. This is, you know, information you can find out online. But people don't realize a lot of these players have some form of contract or ownership or shares within the products they play. And so not only are they smart, there's also incentive for them to play their own product. But Bryson was very gracious. He was, really interested in some of the new products that I was pushing forth. I got a new fully carbon shaft that I introduced this week to the players, a new grip. We had some other interesting products that showed up while I was there. They were overnighted. And so over time, the public will see these new 3D printed grips that I'm working on. And again, the new addition of our Proxy Plus, which is a broomstick, larger head. It's actually quite a bit heavier than our standard Proxy. But to have access and to get even, 5 minutes with these guys, it's remarkable, because at least, they're understanding that it's not just the typical OEMs out there that are coming up with new innovation. There are other guys, and, half of them like, how the hell did you get out here? But they've seen me enough over the years, and they know my relationship with Lab, and it's exciting for them to see me out there bringing new innovation. It's just not, I've gotten there because of my history. It's like, no, my job is to continually bring innovation to you guys so you have accessibility to try it out, and at least exposure to it. Whether or not you want to try it, that's up to you. But it's going to be here week in, week out.
Talking to John Berquist, Flux Golf on TW Keith Jones. And Bryson is big on this 3D printing for his clubs. I need you right now, JB, to break that down. Let people understand what that is, the printing thing in the 3D, and how does that actually make an actual product?
Well, we've all probably heard it. And, all of a sudden over the years, we've seen it in the desktop models. You can buy the $500 machine, get it from Amazon, and mess around with the software they provide you. But essentially, as you start moving into performance or production products, there can be some really strong performance attributes that are exciting. And it's a process. So basically, you have powder or a liquid. There's other forms of resins that exist. And each machine has, some capability of creating, that virgin material in whatever state it is into, a tangible product that can be either tested or moved into production. Most of the time we've, seen all these players out there have an injection molded rubber grip or, some form of tube steel. And these are processes that have been around for, close to 100 years, machining of a, fully machined head. A lot of good reasons that they're still around, but as we see the advancements in 3D printing technology, the costs come down, the technology, from, let's just say, manufacturing or weight or stability, whatever it may be, those properties can be built in one way and one way only, and that's through 3D printing. And so Bryson has definitely attached himself to products, and I think it started with his relationship with Cobra. And, from there, they're kind of the first to get that 3D printed component of their putter out into the masses.
Indeed, fascinating. As we're with John Berquist, back after this break. We We're back and catching up with John Berquist of Flux Golf. He was out in lovely West Virginia last week at the putting greens of the Greenbrier, which was hosting the LIV event. And yes, won by Brooks Koepka. And the whole thing, will at some point down the road, we'll since you're knee deep in that stuff, we'll have to talk about how the money gets distributed. There's the winner of the tournament, but his team gets and there's money all the way around. So yeah. Anyway, but it's a lot. I mean, if you're out there as one of only two, three, four people, maybe as a manufacturer's rep, that's some power. But at the same token, you know, it takes some perseverance to stand at all day, hoping that somebody comes over and meets you or works with you. So the fact that you spent some time with Bryson, that's huge. And then, of course, guys talk all the time.
They do, but you stated a truism, which is you are staying around all day and you're balancing, you know, politeness versus this is an opportunity. Don't waste it. So, you know, it's sort of like when you stand on the sidelines, and if you get acknowledged, then it's time for you to kind of make your opening, make the introduction, you know, make sure you're very clear and concise about what it is you want them to focus on, then step back and let them putt. And then usually that's where you kind of take three or four steps back. Their team may congregate around, you know, a 5 to 15 minute session. They'll come back with some Q&A. And, you know, hopefully the goal is they see this week in and week out, you're going to get some play time. So the fun part about my brand is I'm offering not just putters and not just the assembly of putters and grips and shafts. I'm independently starting to sell these and continue with my product development on an individual component basis. So grips, I have a line of grips that I'm promoting. I have my heads. I've got three heads now that I'm out there with. In the continuation with the new full carbon shaft, yes, they're the Flux package, but at the same time, I don't necessarily need a player to buy in to the whole system. If they fall in love with a grip, I mean, that's brand exposure in itself. And it may be an easier in with players because, hey, if they don't like it, we'll set the grip off and, you know, go back to whatever you were using beforehand.
Well, Superstroke is big because Bryson's been using them, and the Superstroke has gotten so big that they bought Lampkin. I didn't think many decades as Lampkin has been around. I didn't know they were available, and Superstroke scooped them up. But Bryson certainly using their grip has helped that company tremendously.
It definitely was, and then what was it, a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer than that, Bryson ended up creating his own grip company. And that's Jumbo Max. And Jumbo Max was, you know, and still is a pretty, you know, I would say, I mean, a dormant brand, but it's still, you know, trying to gain traction. And even with the success that Bryson is having with that particular grip, and, you know, again, I know he's, you know, an owner in it. I don't know how available it is. I don't know, you know, it could be, you know, doing tremendously well because of his name and likeness and the success that he has. But for most of us, it's not a known brand or even known entity that he owns it. So again, it's hard. I mean, and be able to stay focused. Bryson is an anomaly because he has ownership in the grip, the shaft, and the head company. So even if there was a product that could, you know, maybe give him, you know, one or two less strokes around, would he change? I mean, these guys can put with pretty much anything. So, you know, you really have to have a strong, convincing argument and proof over a certain duration of time that, hey, this could net you, you know, X number of dollars. And if you like it enough, well, why don't you, you know, bring it in-house? That's always an option.
Yeah, that's interesting because FaceTime was great, but if a guy already owns basically a putter company himself, it makes it increasingly difficult to get that product into play by a player like that.
It's true. Yeah, it does. But again, these guys are looking for any, you know, finite advantage. So that's what I can provide.
Yeah,
and fortunately, you know, I've tested a lot of these products, and the proof is in that, and hopefully it's enough to get them into their hands.
Well, that's why we're tapping into John Berquist, who is the founder of Flux Golf, formerly of Lab, and the competitors out there with him as well on the Live Tour, which has to be very, very interesting. But John's going to stay with us for another few minutes, so we're going to take a quick break, catch your breath, let John catch his breath as well, and we will be back to talk about Flux Golf.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending this portion with John Berquist. Jack Curry will be coming up in a little bit because we're going to have to let JB get back to his workshop. He's at his lab right now in the Pacific Northwest, specifically the coffee capital of the U.S., and and he's a busy, busy man, you know, coming in off the tour. That's, you know, for a guy that has been so innovative in the industry putter-wise, that being you, John, you know, to be out on tour and to promote the product or trying to get it into players' hands is the rub, because you do so much work in your laboratory that getting out on the out of the lab is good for a break, but then you've taken away lab time by doing that.
Yeah, and you're putting resources into travel, lodging, product, and again, the time away from what you could be, you know, trying to utilize that same time in development or, you know, building other relationships, distribution. But how many guys out there get this opportunity? And that's the way I look at it. You know, there will be a time when a player will put it in play, and it won't be a lab product. It won't be another contract design product I've worked on. It'll be a Flux product, and someone will get a victory on it. And at that point, the challenge is, I need to have enough money set aside so I can market that victory. And it'll happen. And again, people don't realize that. So, you know, you're spending money on a continual basis. And the fortunate side is I'm starting to get some good traction with the grips and some of the other small projects I'm working on. So it starts to, you know, feed back into the kitten. But, you know, I'm excited about the opportunity and the fact that it's one of two OEMs that are out there, and as you look across the putting green, and you know, it's not bittersweet, but it definitely is sweet and sour seeing half the players use a product you designed for someone else. But that's one of the reasons that you're able to be out there. It's definitely a net positive.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. I mean, you know, from a creative standpoint, and from bringing it from idea to fruition, and then have somebody actually utilize it. That's some heady stuff sometimes.
Yeah, and I've been, you know, a little bit fortunate to get small victories, you know, from 2008 or 9 and working with some other OEMs in my past. You know, there was a little bit of success, but to see the industry fall in love with a product that's changed the careers and bank accounts for many tour players with the lab products. Sam, the owner there, doing a fantastic job of, you know, navigating that journey and making it accessible, not just to pros, but to all of us amateurs. And I think it's a fair price point. So, you know, kudos to him for doing that and setting the table. But it's nice to look at my product run and say, hey, listen, this is my take. This is my perspective. And this is what I think Flux can do as far as offering that next tier of innovation and performance and style. Kind of all wrap up into one. And again, my goal is to also offer options. So that's another thing you'll find in my quiver, is you got a lot of options to choose from.
So let's talk about this carbon shaft, because I do not recall it ever being used in a putter. Now, somewhere in somebody's workshop, I'm sure they got innovative and they stuck one in there, but I've never seen it come to market. why carbon? It's carbon fiber. Why in a putter?
Well, I think what's interesting is there's so many different philosophies around performance in full swing graphite, some form of hybrid carbon graphite steel shafts. And we've seen, a lot of these now driver shafts are pushing $1,000, and guess what? They're selling. You're dealing with, high torque. You're dealing with, high swing speeds, high compression rates. So there's a lot of different, physics that are happening there. When it comes down to a putter shaft, in theory, you almost want to eliminate it. You want to say, hey, listen, I don't want there to be any flexibility, and I want to have somewhat of a consistent feel, which I'm going to get off the face. I want to have a consistent grip, which I'm going to get that, resonance through my hands. I think we're seeing players look at materials like a full carbon shaft, even more so than a graphite shaft or a steel shaft, because of the stability. And so Lab had done a great job of building this, anti-torque vernacular and messaging. Then it was supported by performance attributes. That all of a sudden says, let's take the almost performance out of shafts and try to create something that's very, very stable. And there's probably, four or five companies that have been doing that for the last, 4 or 5 years. Now they're clustering together. So TPT is the shaft company that Lab is using, LA Golf Shaft is following suit. And so when I look at the cost of these shafts, and them being a part of sort of the putter program, it was just a matter of me doing some research and finding a fantastic company in Europe that I've been developing this product with for the last 6 months. And we got into a form where I felt comfortable sharing it with the tour players this last week. And again, it was immediate, not just because it's a little bit thicker diameter, but it's noticeable. If your typical putter shaft at 35 inches minus the head is 120 grams, a lot of these carbon shafts are coming in, sub 100, 90, 80. So that adds to sort of, the overall feel that you can play with, a heavier head, a lighter grip, what is it that you're, from a characteristic standpoint, are you looking for? And the carbon shaft, because of its weight and its properties, it allows us to even, more fine tune putter performance, but a resonance. I think we're all kind of, looking to tune on an individual basis.
Talking with John Berquist from his laboratory in the Pacific Northwest, he's of Flux Golf. And last time John was on, when he introduced him to you a number of weeks ago, John said after the show, hey, I want to send you some grips. I'm like, okay. People say, I'm going to send you stuff. And John is a man of his word, and he sent us some grips. And then I talked to him after, and I said, hey, thank you very much. I actually got the grips. He said, well, I want you to take this one. It's called the Gatekeeper, and I want you to put it on your putter. Well, okay, I'm not sure. I like it. It's nice. It's kind of squared off. Pretty good. So I took out a putter that I've had for a number of years. It's a company that's no longer around. It's Q-Roll. And they were making some good product, and I hadn't touched that putter in many, 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 many months. So I pulled it out, the Mr. 2, and I went to my local shop, and I said, hey, I need this re-gripped. They're like, hey, no problem. This is an interesting grip. I said, yeah, it is. If you do it well, I might get you one as well. The pro was kind of happy about that. I haven't, haven't done that yet, but because I only had one Gatekeeper. But I went and had it done. And then I've taken it out for a few rounds, and I have to say, I like it. And it's interesting because, and I'll defer to John Berquist about this, there seems to be some weight in this grip. Now, I like a little bit more weight in my putter, and usually it's from the head, but this seemed to be like it was from the grip. But I had good control, I had good distance control, and if I could work on my green reading a little bit more, I would have made many more one putts than I did.
Well, it's good. I just say, like all of us, just practice. You can practice with anything, and eventually you're going to start making some putts. But that particular grip, let's just kind of describe it to the audience quickly. It's a rubber-like grip. And so I would say it's in a Super Stroke 2.0 midsize, a little oversized. The difference being the Super Stroke is a two-part polyurethane wrap, and it's much lighter. I think that the standard Super Stroke grip that we're all kind of, you know, inherently visualizing when you think of Super Stroke weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of 55 to 65 grams. That grip, the Gatekeeper, is made out of a material called TPU, and it's got a more of a rubber texture to it, but it weighs quite a bit more, substantially more, about 110 grams. And so you're getting about, you know, 10 and a half inches of where you're feeling the putter as an overall. It's not going to be more on the head side, and it definitely won't be, you know, on the grip side. It's giving a little more balance, and you're going to feel that on the grip side. It was not some plug that's in the end. It's that 110 grams that have been distributed over the 10 inches of the grip itself. So yeah, that's great, you know, inside on your side when you're putting, because that's where you're going to feel it. But again, you can start messing around. Think about a 55 gram Super Stroke and an 80 gram carbon and 350 gram head with an aluminum insert that makes it lighter. I mean, that is going to feel like a feather compared to maybe the same head, 120 gram steel shaft and 110 gram grip, same basic size, lie, loft, but a completely different feel. And that's the goal. I want to be able to go out to not just the tour players, but everyone else and say, hey, listen, here's some options. And the Gatekeeper right now seems to be the one that people are migrating to.
It's interesting because I do have the Super Stroke grip. They don't have it. I have the grip unattached to a club, but I was feeling that, and there is a tremendous difference. It was interesting because you don't think it's like, okay, I'm holding it in my right hand, which is stronger in my left hand. Is it that or what is it? So I appreciate you clearing that up. I know you have to get back to making a bunch of clubs, so we're going to let you go here momentarily, but appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you updating everybody. Being out on the tour, what it's like to be a rep out there. Continued success with Flux Golf. We're big fans because, we like the little engine that could. It's a great story. But also, you know, your years of experience in the industry is invaluable for this show. So, obviously, we'll talk to you in the weeks ahead. And we appreciate you coming on now. And we will talk to you real soon. That's John Berquist of Flux Golf on Teed Up Keith Jones. And now, by the magic of radio, Jack Curry joins us, Jack of 2-Under, and this new golf glove company, which I tell you, it's amazing, the durability on this U.S. glove. But we'll let Jack tell us all about that, because he's on the road as usual. He's in Minneapolis. He's doing the Minneapolis show, and then he's all over the place. But Jack, thanks for making time, because you're the biggest road warrior I know.
Thank you so much for having us, Keith. And yes, I'm burning some rubber out there on the road right now, but it's that time of year, and I absolutely love it, and really appreciate you having us on.
Well, you know, you're good at what you do, and you know, I've kind of become friends. But that aside, you are in touch with what's going on in the industry, and I tell people in the past when you were on before, the last time you were on, it was before the PGA Buying Summit in Frisco, Texas. We'll have you back on to kind of give everybody an overview of the success or such of what went on in Frisco. Was it of course you're going to say everything, every show is a good show for you because of what you do, but you know.
Well, you know what? I like to always think that we always make it a good show no matter what, but Reed Exhibition and the PGA of America did a great job in exercising their changes necessary to continue to make this thing grow. I believe that it was better than the year previous, which was the inaugural, the first year. And they're continuing to show signs of making it better. My next question for them is, how do you make it much bigger than it is right now to make it even better for all of us vendors because of the limited amount of space that they have there. They don't have a true convention center like the Orange County Convention Center for the Orlando show. So as this thing grows and continues to show signs of being able to grow and get more people there, where do they go? And I think they're probably working on it right now. It'll probably be there again next year for sure. But if it continues to grow and double and triple in size, they're going to need a convention center in Frisco that's nearby or part of that facility. And I don't know, I'm not a part of the planning committee there, but I'm hoping that the PGA of America and Reed or somebody are discussing building a convention center that's bigger and can accommodate, you know, 8, 10, 20,000 people, because right now this facility couldn't hold more than 3,000, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, still at the Omni, and it was great going there last year. Couldn't get it logistically to fit for this year, but we're glad we had boots on the ground, like with Jack. I mean, we talked to Mark Simon prior to the show as well. And it's interesting because it has taken on kind of a different flavor than the Vegas show, which I think over time kind of got stale and people – you know, we're kind of becoming less enamored with the show. So moving it to Frisco made sense. But to your point, it's held in as part of the Omni Hotel. So there is limited space. And while the energy last year, I know specifically, was quite positive, these growing pains, you have to have the space. So I'm totally on board with what you're saying, because it appears to me, while it won't ever likely be as big as the Orlando show, and maybe no, nor should it be,
no.
You know,
right.
There's room to grow. Reed would like to grow it, obviously, but yeah, you're going to need somebody to come in and, you know, and the Frisco is just exploded with construction. So a convention center, what the heck? And if you put Uncle Jerry's name on it, you know, maybe Jerry Jones will throw in a few bucks and, you know, and make it happen, since he owns part of, you know, a majority of Frisco anyway. So
I was going to say at least probably half of it.
Exactly. Maybe you do. Maybe you put it into the NFL training facility. Maybe that's what you do. I don't know.
Well, I will tell you that they have to do something, because what's going to happen is they're going to price themselves out. One, just to parlay a little bit of your discussion on Vegas, it'll never be Vegas, nor do we want it to be, because Vegas was good for a while, but then it lost its luster and people were coming out for more for vacation than they were for the show. And, you know, everybody loves Vegas. What happens to Vegas stays in Vegas. But it's one of those things. It wasn't a real – the golf show lost its luster. Now, because this golf headquarters in Frisco's there, and they get – if they get a convention center, I think they could make it even better than it is. But what's going to happen if they stay at the Omni, it's going to price itself out, because vendors are not going to come, because the cost to go there is exorbitant. It's crazy. I mean, they're charging way, way more than they need to for the booth, and they're charging way more they need to for a room. You know, when rooms are triple or quadruple what you're paying in Orlando, there's a problem.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of time logistically for a vendor to say, hey, you know what? I can't do this day and a half or 2.5 day show and spend 10 or 20 grand.
Yeah, I think that is going to be an issue. That's why we have Jack Curry on. Going to take a quick break and come back with Jack, give him some extra time because he's got a lot to talk about, including giving us more on Frisco.
Hi, this is Bob Toski, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
And we're back with Jack Curry of Two Under Fame. Mostly, he's got so many projects going on. He's got the U.S. Glove project as well, and he's giving us the scoop on what happened in Frisco, because what happens in Frisco, and as long as you don't pass out from the heat, you are in good shape. And I'm glad you mentioned the Vegas show a little more specifically, because I remember going out to that show first in 1990, I think it was eight or nine.
Yep.
And
yep,
eight. I stayed in the Riviera, and it was at the old convention center. So how Vegas has changed so much over the years. But to your point, that was, it's kind of a destination now. So people are like, oh, I'll go to Vegas, I'll go to the show. But the show, it was more of an afterthought, the PGA show. Being in Vegas is as great a job as Reed tried to do and such. So you get a fresh start. You're in Frisco. I don't know how much into the hundreds the temperature went, but I know they adjusted it, especially for the outside activities and such, for a little bit later in the day and such. So, you know, they're on top of it. And I do have great admiration for Mark Simon and Reed and what they're doing with
they
those
do
shows. Because you know, it's a very fluid situation. I mean, they're tweaking all the time, and you know, and they are talking about next year's already. Actually, right now, I think they're concentrating mostly on Orlando, but Orlando's coming in just, you know, less than 6 months away.
Before we blink.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's getting pretty crazy. The year's, you know, almost gone, and here we go again. But yeah, it is certainly a different animal in Frisco, Texas.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think to your point, what it did for us, we got to meet more new customers. We got to spend some more time. Again, because it was broken up like it was last time, it gets diluted. They should have it all. There shouldn't be like this one-on-one summit. You pay extra for that, and that's one day. And then the next day and a half is just for those other two rooms, because it's extremely confusing to the buyers. There's no doubt about it. They have 100% of an issue there, because they came into our room while we're setting up saying, well, can you work with me? And we're like, we're not even open yet.
Mm. Yeah, it was. I guess it was segmented into those two different convention or conference areas, which are pretty large in themselves. But yeah, you're restricted, you know, and it was, I don't know if it's quite as disjointed this year as it seemed to be last year, but it was the inaugural year, so you know, things are tweaked and changed and everything else. But I remember talking to some of the buyers and people in general who were at the show, and it was confusing.
Yeah, it was. But we overall had a good show, and you know, the two under really did well. We were previewing our 25 spring. We were obviously featuring fall holiday at once deliveries. We had the new Santathlete there. Our new Santa Christmas print was there, and it was very well received. Of course, we introduced some more colors in the Bodie short and our new Juicy Swim short. So, yeah, it was very well received. And, gosh, I got back on Thursday night and turned around and unpacked and repacked and left on Friday morning at 5 a.m. for the Chicago show, which was our menswear show, and that was great too. So, you know, our two-under business was very, very brisk. It was very worthwhile, and we're planning on going back.
Well, I can get Santa on my underwear. I mean, a second layer. Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We got it. You got Santathletes. So you got Santa doing in all different types of athletics.
But of course, what else would Curry come up with? You know, those guys. So, so innovative. The technology is there. You know, again, men's first layer. I said second layer earlier. But this first layer,
yeah.
the basics, the things, the Joey pouches, all the, who would have known, you know, the days of Tidy Whities, and even it's Hanes. What is that? Is that a name anymore? You know, it is crazy what's going on in that category in golf.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, we certainly appreciate the opportunity and to be there. And we're glad we're invited, and we're looking forward to a great Orlando show. And you know, U.S. Glove was very well received and continues to grow. It's, you know, we're getting more and more reps on board, and that's the intention, to be able to show it more for, you know, we're doing some seeding more than the planting of the seeds for now for spring, because, you know, we missed the spring season, of course, when we introduced it this year. We'll get some fall holiday events. We've already got quite a few. We'll be at the World Am next week in Myrtle Beach. There'll be 3,200 people receiving a U.S. Glove. That are participating. So we'll have a good following there, and they'll all leave there with a glove in their hand and on their hand and playing. And then we go to the PGA show and off and run. We'll be ready with 22 reps on board and rolling.
He's always rolling. That's our man, Jack Curry. Thanks so much for making time, Jack. Appreciate it. We're just out of time. Special thanks to John Berquist as well. Get out there and practice your game. Practice. take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.